When Jesus introduces the concept of church, ecclesia in the Greek, to the disciples in Matthew 16:18, he reminds them that the church will be empowered to break down every gate of hell, and that hell can never have defenses, no gates stronger than the church, ever. But the church has been having a problem with its understanding of the strength of the gates of hell, and running from the devil when it should have been facing and fighting the devil. So in these messages, I want to help us to see how we can face those evil gates without fear and break them down. Today's message, entitled The Gates of Hell, is part one of a two-part sermon on spiritual warfare, and I hope you'll stay tuned. The problem with us when we fail to grasp our identity in Jesus is that most of our prayer life is based on an earth-to-heaven concept when it should be focused on a heaven-to-earth reality. We should be catching what is going on in heaven and bringing that to earth, praying, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," seeing the temporal from the eternal, the temporary from the everlasting viewpoint. Turn with me again, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6 and at verse 10, where the Apostle Paul deals with this matter of our spiritual warfare. Let's read again from verses 10 through 12. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And also, let's read again a few verses from 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, where Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Today, I want you to make sure that you get both information and impartation, because your life is about to change. What I've been leading up to in recent messages about the end times is to this one on spiritual warfare. You see, we need to understand that we are in a fight, not to win, but to keep the victory that has already been won. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and there can be no stealing if you do not possess. So he comes to rob from you, but a thief need not overpower you to steal. All he has to do is to catch you sleeping. And tragically, many are asleep spiritually and don't know that they're being robbed by the devil every day. He deceptively steals the benefits of Calvary from the lives of the Christian and the kingdom from the lives of its inheritors. Satan hates God and he hates you. His goal is to take over, rule, and dominate the earth. God had originally given the earth to Adam, who lost it. So Jesus came and took it back for men. So what's happening in your life and all around you has a lot more to do with how we are managing our world than it has to do with God. The ball is in our court. We can have as much victory as we fight for, and the kingdom will advance as much as we advance it. This is why we need to understand that the day of sitting in the church being all Christian one day a week is over. We must come out and speak up and engage with and fight against those who would silence the voice of the Christian and the gospel of the kingdom. There are those in power who want to have us victim of their way, not victors in Jesus' way. We are affected by the rules they make and the lifestyles that they allow and the things that they teach our children in school. Their ideology is coming in to rob those who have no truth and feed them with error, and we must put a stop to it before they destroy us. All spiritual warfare is fought in the minds of men, which means that the objective of demon spirits is to get into the minds, the thinking of people. If the devil can control your mind, you will do his will. God gave the earth to man. Satan knows the earth belongs to man. So either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil will rule. But whoever rules depends on whoever gets the minds. And up to date, the devil has had more control than God, and we need to change all that and do it now. Let's not play that old religious tune that says God is in control. He is not, because his children are not in control. There are over 7 billion on this planet, but only about 1 billion profess to be Christian. We have a lot of work to do, and time is short. We in the church need to understand that the gospel is not accepted in much of our world. The kingdom is not alive everywhere. While great advances have been made, especially with the technological advances, and a great deal of this world has the potential via satellite to hear the gospel, there is still many not making the most of that potential. There are sinister, wicked spirits that have taken territory, and we need to realize that the dominant job of evil spirits is to form ideologies, belief systems, and ways of thinking. The devil will not always come as a rogue, deep, dark, and evil. He can just as easily come well-dressed, well-read, and well-spoken, but with evil intentions, to have more control of you than you imagine. The devil battles for your mind. So the renewing of our minds is the most important thing that the Christian can ever do. What is it to renew the mind? Romans 12 verse 2 reads, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Renew your mind so that you begin to know and discern what is of God and what is of the world. If it is of the world, it is the ideas and mentality of Satan. It comes through the world, and sometimes it's polished up to look good, and it's what I call devil logic. At the end of the day, it's devil logic, no matter how smooth it sounds on the talk show, and sad to say, even from some of the pulpits. That wisdom is either coming from the world or from the Word. Unless you've renewed your mind, you'll never see it. We are losing in the earth because we've not fought successfully. We have enough people in this town to fill 10 times over every church in every street. But where are they? Sundays, for many Christians, is no longer special. If there is some other opportunity to go eat breakfast somewhere, or to go to a car boot sale, or to go cycling or sporting somewhere, or to stay in the bed. What has happened is that we've lost the warfare of that particular decision. Life boils down to winning the battle for our thoughts. Satan should have no place in your mind. That's why the Bible says, "Give no place to the devil," Ephesians 4:27. Let me remind you that you have to allow him access to you. He cannot just take it. This is not from the standpoint that he needs your consent before he tries to control, but he has no authority and no power to make you do anything except that you give in to his suggestions, ideas, and thoughts. That's the basis of spiritual warfare. Consider what I'm calling direct warfare. Satan wages war against you directly through demon spirits when he brings ideas, suggestions, and thoughts to your mind. You may be just sitting at home or driving in the car, and all of a sudden those thoughts come in and you respond, and the process can be going on and you're not being even aware of it. Satan is constantly working on you. Why? Because he knows that if you don't take any authority and control over your own mind, sooner or later, you'll do his will and not God's will. Indirect warfare is when he gets other people to plant his thoughts, ideas, and negativity into your mind. You need to be able to recognize those who speak in a devilish and deceptive way into your life. If Satan cannot get in directly, he'll get in indirectly. Psalm 1 reminds us that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, the man who is protecting his mind from ungodly advice and reasoning. You can't afford to be around ungodly people, nor stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, because those ways of thinking get in. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners," which means that evil talk corrupts, and you've got to be able to discern how these liaisons make you feel. Do they make you feel better or worse? Sometimes the problems may be friends, co-workers, or even family members. You may need to stay out of some circles. You are not the problem, they are the problem. And instead of your compromising to stay with them, they need to be delivered to hang with you. That's how Satan gets into your space. Many of you have never heard anything like this because you don't know the book. And if it's not from the book, that means the Bible, it's devil logic. Ephesians 6 says that we are wrestling with demonic influences. I don't want you to think of the demonic as dirty, but rather as wicked, because most of the demonic will be dressed up to sound good, plausible, reasonable, even attractive. And the subtle deception of Satan is to get us thinking that we are smarter than God. Satan doesn't mind you going to church or listening to the sanctuary on a Sunday, as long as you still listen into him as well as you listen into the preacher. Renew the mind to the Word of God. Know the logic and the sound of God when you hear it. Whose signals are you picking up, God's or the devil's? Do you allow the devil to use your mind as his playground? If we are losing the battle, it's not because the gates of hell prevail, but because the saints do not know how to enforce their victory. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, when Paul is saying our weapons are mighty, he is reminding us that we are bigger in the spirit than we are in the flesh. We have apostolic authority, mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds. He was telling the church at Corinth that God had anointed him to do this, to keep them from the twisted, wicked thinking of other logic. I can pull down strongholds, everything that raises itself against the knowledge of God, says Paul. And if Paul could do it, then you and I know that when we're in Christ, we can do it too. Stand and boldly declare the word until demons scatter and devils flee. Some of us, unenlightened, are fighting fortified places in our minds that will not change. And sometimes we'll fight in error to keep the wrong thinking and the wrong teaching. The devil wants to keep you locked up in wrong thinking, so that while I'm preaching, you're trying to talk yourself out of it. Because if you take on board this truth, you may have to change the way you're living, or the way you're praying, or the way you're giving, and so on. It's not you rebelling, it's a rebellious spirit that you've allowed to deceive you, and so the battle lives on. So then, the Bible promises that the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell are the property lines of the devil. That means that should you decide to go after him, fight the devil, he cannot stop you from spoiling him. That's the assignment of the church. We must take on these evil issues, evil rules, evil laws, and evil men, and bind on earth to seize the territory from the enemy. We are here to engage the devil, not to run from him. We are here to claim the earth for God, not to read something in the news and say, "That's a shame," and then do nothing about it. We are called to win the earth for Jesus, and you cannot do it hiding out in the prayer closet. You have to come out of it and engage the minds of men and women in darkness around you. Yes, we have to pray in secret to bring all these things to our God, but then we must come out and confront this devil logic, no more allowing the enemy to rule. Let me show you as we draw to a conclusion today that the devil has seven war zones. The gates of hell stand in these seven areas. Firstly, global. Secondly, national. Thirdly, regional. Four, local. Five, racial. Six, generational. And seven, personal. Because Satan's plan is to take control of the earth, some strategies or schemes are global. To establish this scheme, his persuasion of the whole earth tries to affect everybody. Demon spirits do that. What principalities do is that they try to establish principles and rule with law. You cannot just be praying for your needs. You've got to be watching the news and binding the devil. If you don't get a grip on these things, sooner or later Al-Qaeda are going to be sitting in your back garden. Then the devil's plans are national. Satan has plans for nations. And you might have to get political in your preaching and praying, because you might need to start affecting governments and legislators. Public standards and civil rights and such like are not only the responsibility of the governments, they are the responsibility of the Christian and the church. There are some ideas we need to fight against, some policies we may need to bind and tie up. So pray for the Prime Minister, pray for the First Minister and the Taoiseach. It's our job to help them avoid error and from going in the wrong direction. Satan, too, has a plan for regions and localities and cities. You remember how that Jesus went into the country of the Gadarenes, and there was there a man possessed with a legion of demons who begged Jesus not to send them out of the region, but into the nearby herd of swine. But the swine didn't like them and threw themselves off a cliff to their death. This place, this city, this town belongs to Jesus, but we have to fight for it. We may not get help in every area, but we must help in some. Satan, too, has a plan for ethnic groups, for minorities, and for those who would try to impose by violence or force their lifestyles, religions, and cultures on others. He fights, too, down the generations for your families and for your children and family members. He'll stop at nothing to get everyone all messed up and feed them on violence, cruelty, and immorality via the television, radio, the internet, and the newspapers. But the real tragedy, the real horror, is that he fights for people. He is fighting for you and for me, and is relentless in his efforts to get into the controlling seat on the throne of our lives. And it is to this problem that I feel I need to focus now, in order to give you the maximum help to combat and resist him. We read earlier from Ephesians 6, that portion commonly known as the armor of God, verses 14 through 17. And although the church generally accept what Paul was writing about, there are often confusions in theological circles as to why Paul wrote this way to Christians. Let me try to explain what I see as the best way to help understand what Paul was saying. If, and only for the purposes of this study, if we remove the Roman soldier symbolism from the text and read what it is that Paul was saying that we need to put on, verses 14 through 17 minus the Roman soldier symbolism would read, "Stand therefore with truth and righteousness, with the gospel of peace, and above all faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take salvation and the word of God." Ephesians 1:1 shows us that Paul is writing to the saints, the Christians, and to the faithful at Ephesus. And so the question has been asked, why is he telling them to put on righteousness and to put on salvation and so on? Surely the Christians are already saved. Surely the Christians are already robed in Christ's righteousness. And does not Paul himself say so in 2 Corinthians 5:21? If we are supposed to put on salvation every day, what if we rush out in the morning in a hurry and forget? Does that mean we walk around all day unsaved and sinful? Of course not. For me, there's no contradiction and no theological error in these verses. Remember that I've been teaching you today that the devil's target is your mind, your thoughts. And God says in Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So I submit and suggest to you today that Ephesians 6, 14 through 17 is all about an armor for the mind. In other words, Paul is saying, put on what you know about salvation, what you know about your righteousness, what you know about faith, what you know about the word, and so on. And if you don't know any more than you're saved, then you don't know enough. And you need to get into the Bible and get yourself protected. The world will say that what you don't know can't hurt you. That's nonsense. For as a Christian, what you don't know can hurt you. Remember, Jesus in his temptations in the wilderness uses the scriptures on every single one and got the victory each time. He had put on what he knew, Matthew 4. So, walking in the Word of God, under the blood of Jesus, every gate of hell must crumble before us. The devil has no chance and no hiding place. He is already a defeated foe. Don't ever forget it. Now that's all I have time for today, but I'll return to this subject of spiritual warfare in next week's message. So be sure to join me for that. And in the meantime, may God richly bless and empower you in the fight. Amen.